You take your Bibles this morning and turn with us to Deuteronomy. We have two thoughts we would like to bring to you this morning, and this is fellowship and fellowship in communion. Deuteronomy, the seventh chapter. Deuteronomy 7:9, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him, and keepeth his commandments to a thousand generation. This is very, very important to each and every one of us this morning, to know, therefore, that the Lord thy God, that he is God. And this is the first thing that we should remember, and this is the first thing that we should know, that he is our God, that he will continue to be our God. And it says here, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him. Now you notice here it says that he will keep the promises, he will keep the covenants which he has made with his people if they keep his love, if they have his love within their heart, if they keep his commandments. And this is something that each one of us must do, and keep his commandments to a thousand generations. God will be God, he is going to be God, he shows us that he is God through everyday life, and it says he's going to be God for a thousands of generations. He's never going to change. He's always going to be the same. But he also, notice here in the 10th verse, he tells us something else. And repayeth them that hate him to their face. There are people who hate God to their face. There are people who deny God. They say there is no God. They don't want anything to do with a God. And he's just saying that this is all something that men have thought up. But he says to thee, and repayeth them that hate him to their face, to destroy them, and he will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. So you see, God is not going around like us human beings do sometimes. Someone does something to us which we don't like, we say, well, I'm going to get even with that fellow. So we sneak around and we do something to him, and in a roundabout way. But God says, I'm not going to be that way. God says here, he will repay him to his face. So on that great judgment day, we'll stand before God, and God is going to look you right in the face, and he's going to say, okay, give account of yourself. Why did you do such and such? Why did you not love me? Why did you not keep my commandments? Face to face, and then he's going to sentence that man right to his face. What is going to happen to him? So we find here that it's very important that we know the Lord thy God, that he is God, and that he is a faithful God, and he's going to remain a faithful God for thousands of generations. The 11th verse says, thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them. So we find here God has made certain promises. We find here that God has made promises that he is going to keep. Now, you know, so many times today in our life, we make promises. You make a big promise when you get married. Each one of us has. And you know, so many of those promises today are broken. So many of them. There's more divorces today, actually, than there's almost marriages. Why? Because a promise was made and a promise was broken. Today, someone will ask you to do something. Well, would you promise to do this for me? Sure, I will do it. And we don't do it. Why? We forget. But God is not going to forget. According to his scripture and according to the Bible here, God is not going to forget. He's going to be the same God. He's going to be a faithful God, it says, for thousands of generations. So this is a thing that we must remember, and this is something that is very important to us. Let us turn a moment to the first king. First king. And we find here something in God's word that's very interesting and very important to us. Second Kings, the 8th chapter and the 56th verse. Excuse me, First Kings, the 8th chapter and the 56th verse. God's word here says, blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people, Israel according to all his promise. there hath not failed one word of all his good promises, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. What's that say to us? Something very important to each one of us. There hath not failed one word of all his good promises. Not one word of God's promises has ever been discontinued. Has he ever failed to perform the promises that he gave? Not one of them, it says here. We can't say this. We know we cannot say this because we are human beings, and human beings are going to make errors, and we make certainly a lot of them in our life today. Turn, please, to 1 Corinthians, the first verse. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no division among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now we find here what he's telling us, something else that is very important. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We are called unto the fellowship. Now, we are going to try to define to you this morning fellowship. We often think of the communion here this morning as fellowship one with another. But this goes quite deeper than just fellowship with communion. This goes fellowship in our church life, fellowship in our home life, and fellowship in our everyday life. And it is very important that we have this. But he says here that God has been faithful, and ye were called the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And then he goes ahead and says, and I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. That you all speak the same thing. And yet we find people, even in our own denomination, that want to come up with some idea that is contrary to the teaching of the Bible. We find this in our own denomination, and this makes us very sad. And that there be no division among you. And here is something else we find in our churches today and in our Christian life. Division. We find those who become angry over something and they leave the church. Sometimes they even go out so far as to start another church. But this is something the Bible says that we did not have. But that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. So we find here that the Bible tells us that we should be perfectly joined together in the same mind. This is what we call the Church of God. We forget about the Church of God being a certain denomination this morning, but we speak of it as the people of God, as forming together and being joined together of the same mind. This is the children of God. You know, it speaks of in the Bible as us being called the sons of God. And we each can be the son of God by doing that which he would have us to do. Now he says to have fellowship. And we know according to the scripture, and if you would turn to Acts, the second chapter, we find that they did have fellowship. And they continued this as long as they were in the ministry. Acts 2:42. And it's very important that we do this very thing today, too. In Acts 2:42, the Word of God says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. Now, this is very important here to each and every one of us, that we continue steadfastly in our doctrine, in our truth, in what we believe. If you don't believe it well enough to go out and tell it to other people, then you don't believe it well enough yourself. You are missing something. There is something lacking in your life if you can't go out and tell what you believe to others. You must believe it yourself. And it says, they continued in fellowship and in the breaking of the bread. And we know the Bible tells us that as often as you do this, you do it in remembrance of me. And in prayers, it says. See, it all links together. We cannot drop prayer. We cannot drop church, attendance of church. We cannot drop doctrine. We cannot drop truth. We must have them all. He says, join it all together, and then you will have the truth. And it says in the 43rd verse, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Oh, they weren't afraid, but it says fear, they were very much enthused. They wanted to go out and do exactly as they'd been told to do. And all that believed, another very important word in this verse, believed. And all that believed were together. You see how the Bible is talking about togetherness, fellowship, having fellowship one with another, and had all things common. And of course, we know the Bible tells us here they went ahead and sold the possession and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. They took and they tried to help those as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord. One accord, you notice again. The Bible is still speaking here of unity. One truth, one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. And the 47th verse, they did not forget something. The 47th verse says, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Such as should be saved. So we don't find that everybody was saved. Everyone was not saved, but as should be saved. It's up to you to decide for yourself whether you should be saved or whether you should be one of these in this group of togetherness and fellowship. Believers should have fellowship with the Father and with His Son. This is very important that we have this fellowship. Without this fellowship, we have nothing. We are nothing. 1 John 1:3. 1 John 1:3, that which we have seen and heard declare unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. What's he saying? We must have fellowship with the Father. We must have fellowship with the Son. Or all the other fellowship with your other fellow beings is to no avail. It's to no good. It will not gain you anything. But first, have the fellowship with the Father and with the Son. And these things write we unto you that you may, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness. And he tells us some things here that I know that I have done, and each one of us out here probably have done this morning. For if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So many times we say, oh, I have fellowship with God. I think my God is a wonderful God. Jesus was a wonderful Savior. And yet we continue to walk right down that dark way, pay no attention to people around us, do what we want to do, think what we want to do, go where we want to go, and forget that we must have fellowship with God and with Jesus Christ. It's very important. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. You see how it all links together? Without Jesus Christ as your Savior, without claiming God as your Father, you cannot have fellowship one with another, says here. You cannot have fellowship one with anyone about you unless first you have the fellowship with God and with His Son. To love thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And then it says to love thy neighbor as thyself. So it's very important that we go by God's word and do it in the way He has set it up for each one of us. The 8th verse says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. This is very true. Today we think we are perfect. We can't make any mistakes. We can do anything. Then's the day you're going to stumble and you're going to fall. But if we admit that we can't do things, if we admit we do little sins, then it says this is the thing that we should do. If we confess our sins, he says, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. His word is not in us when we say we don't sin, because we know that each one of us do.
You know, men are apt to say that they have fellowship with Christ, but yet they continue to walk in darkness. Jesus spoke of a different kind of a cup. We'd like to bring this to your attention in the Bible. If you have your Bibles there, turn to the 20th chapter of Matthew. He spoke of a different kind of cup than the one that we are going to partake of this morning. And this is found in Matthew 20:22. Matthew 20:22. And we find here that a certain mother of the son of Zebedee, her two sons, she went to Christ and she said, "Jesus, I'd like for you to do something for me. I'd like for you to prepare a place and have my sons, one to sit on the right hand and one on the left." And then he answered her here. He answered the sons first, and he said, "Grant these that my two sons may sit, the one on the right and the other on the left in thy kingdom." But Jesus answered and said, "Ye know not what you ask." He says, "You don't know what you've asked me here. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They say unto him, "We are able." Well, I think maybe that they had in mind a different cup and a different baptism here than what Jesus was speaking of. And if we would turn a moment to John the 18th chapter, John 18:11, it will enlighten you on this cup here which he spoke of. John 18:11. "Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword unto thy sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it?" Now we know here that they had come to take Christ to have him crucified. Peter drew out his sword and cut off the ear of one of these persons. But Jesus told him, he said, "Put up thy sword. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it?" The cup which he had given him was the cup of suffering, the cup of shame that he was to bear as they took him right this moment here on to the cross, and he was to die for each one of us. This was a different cup. This was a cup that he was speaking of. "Are you fellows able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of?" This is what he asked these two boys, these two sons. Are you able to do this? He asked the same question to us today. Are we able to do this? Are we able to drink of the cup that he drinks of, that he drank of for us, of all the shame and the sorrow? And the Bible says in the latter days these things can happen to each one of us. We'll be persecuted for his name's sake. Well, some of us think, "I don't believe this." Well, now it's coming, and you better believe it. You're going to be made fun of, you're going to be ridiculed, and you're going to be persecuted for his name's sake. This is the cup that we're going to have to bear. Yes, we can drink this cup this morning in remembrance of him. And this is a promise that we're making to him too this morning, the same as God made to us. As we partake of this cup, that we will do the commandments and the things that he would have us to do. Now then, we spoke of a baptism here. And it says they took him away at this time, of course, after this, and crucified him. But we'd like to turn to Luke, the 12th chapter. Luke 12. Luke 12:50. Now he'd ask them, "Can you be baptized with the same baptism that I have been with?" And the 50th verse says, "But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I Satan till it be accomplished? So ye that I am come to give peace on earth, I tell ye nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house, divided three against two and two against three." He says there's going to be division. There's going to be families that believe on me. There's going to be some in that family that won't believe. There's going to be a division. We see this every day in our life. We know that there are those that are believed in the family. And then there's those that drift away and forget that there was a Christ. there was a Jesus who died upon the cross for them. So this was the other baptism here that he was speaking of besides the water baptism. Who would like to turn again to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter? 1 Corinthians 10:16. So the cup of blessing which we bless is not the communion of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we all partakers of that one bread. And as we spoke a moment ago about the unity of the church, about the unity of the Christian, here we have it again. For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. We are all partakers of that one bread. We know that Jesus said, I am the bread. I am the way of life. I am the bread of life. This is what we must be partakers of. The Christ way. And you know, we get real enthused when we see the young people. And especially at camp time, they get enthused over Christ, Jesus Christ, as their Savior. And we pray and hope that this same enthusiasm continues out through all the year. It is very important it does. Because I think the young people can lead some of the old ones maybe back to where they belong. Back to the things that they should be doing. It's very important. The believer should look back. The Lamb was sacrificed upon the cross for him. Though he had no sin, he died there for him. He was slain for us, and he made a sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the world. For the sins of the whole world, he made that sacrifice. The believer should look around, search your heart, and this morning to find out that there be no speck or mote or lavender in your heart. Let us keep the feast of the Christian life, not with old leaven. Not with malice and hatred, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. This is the way we should keep it. This is the way we should keep our life. We always come down to some questions which through the years maybe have been put off and not answered, but some people say, well, who should partake of the communion? We know even our own denomination sometimes this is different than this. Well, first of all, I believe that those who should partake of the emblems are those, we might say, that have obeyed John 3:5. And that says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except ye be born of the water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Unless you be born of the water and the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So we know to be born again of the water is to be baptized. That is one of the first commandments. And also of the Spirit. We must have the Spirit of God in our heart. We must believe. We must be a unit. We all must believe and have the truth. Then I believe that you are eligible to have communion. We look in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and it tells us more about who should partake and who shouldn't. In 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, in the 23rd verse, for I have received you of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take ye, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. We have two very important things in these verses here. First of all, the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was prayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it. We notice here he gave thanks for that food. This should be another requirement in our everyday life, in our homes, is to give grace before we ever eat a meal. We should give thanks to God before we ever touch that first bite at the table. Breakfast, dinner, and supper. This is sort of a requirement here.
Jesus did not partake of this cup. He did not partake of this bread until they had asked a prayer. They had given thanks for it. And he told them, "This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And as we mentioned a moment ago, he says, "I am the bread of life. I am the way. No man can get to the Father only by me." Very important that we do it the way he has set up this in his word for us to do so. He is the bread of life. Says, "After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Now, sometimes we have been asked, "The cup is the New Testament in my blood." Let us turn to Hebrews a moment, 9:15. Hebrews 9:15. And we read there, "And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal life." So this might help you there a little bit. If you would get that, read that verse, take that verse, take your Bibles at home and read this verse in Hebrews 9:15, and then you will understand it a lot better. Study it. "For this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal life." So you see, we find here something else very important to us. "After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often you drink in remembrance of me.' For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." Now, I'm again reading back in 1 Corinthians 11 chapter. But it says in the 28th verse, "So let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." The most important verse there, and there's no one can get around it. You can't say it means something else. You can't say, this is not so. But the 28th verse, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." Let him examine himself this morning, that he might partake of this bread and this cup, as well as the other bread, or the other baptism, the other cup, which we spoke to you a moment ago. It's very important that we link these two together. They go together. They must go together. "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself," no one else. People say, "I don't want to sit down and take communion with only members of our church." That isn't what the Bible says. You know, we have members in our own church that are probably no better than Judas was. But yet the Lord sat down that night and knew he was going to be betrayed by that man. And he went right ahead and partook with that man. Let's don't worry about the other fellow. Let's worry about ourselves. "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup."